Well, hi there, Jonathan Daub with you for the Going Deeper Being Catholic podcast. Whether you're a new listener, you've been with us for a little while, welcome back. It's a huge privilege to be speaking directly to Catholic educators around the world. 150 schools already using the Going Deeper program. From Beverly Hills, California to the remote west of Western Australia, it's really cool to see schools around the world using it. If you're not currently using Going Deeper, make sure you click one of the links around this webpage or come and find us at beingcatholic.com.au/deeper and find out all about the program. But I want to press in. I just want to give Catholic teachers, this is my focus. You know, there's so many topics in the world, but I'm speaking to you as a Catholic educator, as a principal, as a religious in a school, as anybody with an interest in Catholic education. I'm just so convinced that it is the big mission field. And as we seek to know Jesus more, and as we seek to grow in holiness and professionalism, and we seek the sacraments more, the more that we can give to our students. I've been saying for a very long time, we cannot give what we have not received. We cannot give to students what we haven't received. Teaching in a Catholic school is an incredibly spiritual, personal thing. And if we are not receiving grace through prayer, silence, solitude, scripture, sacraments, then we're going to just burn out. And that's what I see in so many schools, cynicism, you know, just burnout, exhaustion. And that's not God's promise for us. And that's not what he wants for young people. So stay with us on this journey. And each week I'm going to try and just bring you something, just a little motivational message in your journey as a Catholic educator. So this week I want to talk about something called, really simple, but a powerful idea. And I want to talk about beauty. It's been on my heart for about 3 or 4 weeks to talk to you about beauty and its place in the Catholic school. Now, I'm not going to declare myself a messiah, but I do believe that God's kind of put this on my heart to share with you. I believe that beauty is a crucial thing in a Catholic school. And the quote I was going to finish with today, I'm going to share with you at the start as well, which is that your school should be an oasis for students. That at this moment in history, with so much family breakdown and young people experiencing challenges with mental health and substance abuse and so many things that face our young people, your Catholic school should be an oasis. And often we hear that, you know, students, they walk in the door and the gates close and they just feel safe. You know, the great founders of the orders, I think of Champagne, you know, that he wanted his schools to feel like a home. I love the Marist Order because they've always done that really well. You know, they're very welcoming charism. And so many of the orders do that well. So let's talk a little bit about beauty. And I want to begin to frame it first by a concept that I often talk about in live seminars, which is comes from the church documents on Catholic education, where the documents refer to the new poor. And it's really interesting, the new poor. And it's something that I talk about in the live seminars, and it's in the Going Deeper program quite frequently. And the church defines them as kind of, I'll put it this way, think of the founders of the great religious orders, you know, the great teaching orders, like your Edmund Rice's in the streets of Dublin, or your John Baptiste de la Salle's, or your Champagne's, or your Nano Nagel's, or even Mary McKillop's. They were able to target the illiterate, the physically poor. They could find them. It was easy to find the poor. You could just see them on the streets. You know, there was so much poverty, child labor, all that stuff. So it was relatively easy at least to say, well, there they are. Let's build a school and invite them and bring them into the education experience and the evangelization experience. But isn't it harder for us now? I mean, depending on where you're listening to this in the world, it's our kids don't often look poor. I mean, if they're wearing uniforms, they come in, you can't tell, you might know a bit about their families. But the church says, yes, that poverty definitely still exists. And I know some of you will have schools where kids often are not getting enough to eat at home. And I've seen great schools that actually have breakfast programs. But the new poor that the church is referring to are young people who just, you know, uses words like lack any, you know, passionate ideals for life, that their homes are broken and they've never been taught how to love. And there's this new kind of emotional, psychological, spiritual poverty that many young people experience. And as teachers, I'm sure you've seen that, haven't you? Like, haven't you seen students that can't function emotionally very well or psychologically? They can't relate and love and care for others very well. And there's this different level of poverty, which just once again in history makes Catholic schools a mission field. it makes Catholic schools a real zone, a real place of genuine evangelization to the poor. So what I want to talk about is beauty. And I'm gonna look, I want you to post a comment if you think I'm over the top with this, but I think many of our students are exposed to an incredible ugliness through social communication and entertainment media. So think about their intake of movies, of violent video games, of so much of what's in social media, Instagram, and all that stuff that is so superficial, so based on appearance and perceived popularity. I want to suggest to you there's an enormous ugliness about this, that there is a lack of beauty, of truth, beauty, and goodness, you know, in much of this. Now, I don't want to say it's everywhere, because you turn into, you start to sound crazy if you say that everything's bad. I'm not saying everything's bad. But I want to highlight that we're at a moment in history where there is so much darkness, and it's coming through much of the entertainment media that young people are exposed to. I mean, think about your average student, what they're going to be accessing in a day. You know, I've done so many seminars around the world, and it's one of my other kind of hats that I wear, is on pornography addiction for young people. You know, so many of our boys seeing the most unspeakable things. I mean, hopefully none of you have really seen this stuff, but, you know, with two clicks, our young people can see anything on the planet. You know, think of all the stuff with terrorism that's happening in the world. I mean, so many of our young people are seeing, just going on YouTube or other, you know, video sharing sites, and seeing the most horrendous, horrific acts of violence and torture. You know, and then, you know, just, I'll give you an example from my own life. Like, I'm really big on communicating how affected we are by what we see. You know, and also, even you think of someone like Roger Scruton, the great British philosopher who writes so much about the beauty of music and how music affects us. You know, I'm really big on what we see visually and how what we see visually affects us. So many times, I'm trying to, you know, Karen and I will be at home, we're trying to watch a movie, so we put on iTunes. I reckon in the last year, it is almost impossible. I want to tell you literally what happened to me yesterday is I try to go on iTunes to find a movie I can watch. And I honestly, I like to be uplifted. I like to, you know, see a good movie that's challenging and interesting. But, you know, we were on holiday just recently and we watched sort of that movie with Angelina Jolie, Salt, and she's like this CIA spy. What struck us was just the violence against women, not so much just generic violence, but how much violence was done to her in the movie, sometimes just seemingly completely unnecessary. But what we noticed is after we turned the movie off, it took me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to kind of wind down. Like, I know this from all the work I've done on pornography addiction, that my cortisol levels would have been raised. That what we see in terms of imagery actually creates, you know, neural change. It creates psychological, psychobiophysiological states, feeling states. So please understand that the media that we take on board is not neutral. It definitely affects our feeling states and through our feeling states, our belief systems. So think of our students now coming through, you know, our young men exposed to internet pornography and increasingly young women as well. But just how much violence they see. I went to watch the, you know, the Brad Pitt did a movie called Fury about World War II, tank battles. So I always do my research. I never just look at a movie and hire it, right? So firstly, you read the reviews on iTunes and it's getting like 4 stars. It's like awesome movie, incredible, best World War II movie. I'm thinking, wow, that's good. But recently I've learned to do something. I want to give you these tips if you don't do them already. Is the Dove Foundation and also Focus on the Family's PluggedIn.com. I really recommend that you, and I'll try and remember to put links under here to find them, PluggedIn.com. You can type in any movie, and these, the Dove Foundation and PluggedIn.com have done, you know, big reviews on sort of family friendliness, faith values, all that stuff. And so iTunes tells me one story about Fury, and then I look at these other two websites and they're like, whatever you do, don't watch this movie. It's like, it lists the most unspeakable acts of violence, you know, just grotesque, gratuitous violence, you know, just horrendous things. I'm arguing that we're affected by that and that many of our students are living in that and they're not being exposed to beauty. So beauty is crucial in the spiritual life. So if you're not across this, you hopefully have heard of the Transcendentals. So the Transcendentals are referred to as truth, beauty, and goodness. They're called the Transcendentals because they transcend any individual person's experience of them. They're bigger than one person's sort of, you know, perception of truth, beauty, or goodness. And Aristotle, of course, basically said that truth, beauty, and goodness are the essence of the Godhead, he said. And, you know, God is supreme truth, supreme beauty, and supreme goodness. So the reason we love beauty is because it is in the very essence of what God's nature is. So we're drawn to beauty because, as I often teach again in staff seminars, we are Capax Dei. We are that which has the capacity for God. So we're drawn to those things which are in God, truth. We're drawn to beauty and we're drawn to goodness. So here's an idea. It's a really interesting idea, right, for your students. I'm going to argue that the obscuring of beauty, the hiding of beauty in our cultures, makes it hard to find God. If beauty is a central aspect of God and it's being obscured in our culture through violence, through pornography, through all this massive entertainment assault, then wouldn't it be harder to find God? So here's an idea. Maybe if we began to expose our students to real beauty, to genuine beauty, then perhaps it would make it easier for them to find God. So, you know, von Balthasar said that each of us is open to the transcendentals. We're all open to truth, beauty, and goodness. But he said that each of us will have a particular one that really resonates with us. I also think this could be helpful too, is the famous book from the 1960s, The Concrete Jungle. And you might have heard of that term. You know, we might look at a part of a city and say it's a concrete jungle. It comes from a book written in the 1960s where this sociologist did this huge amount of research, and he said that it's really a no-brainer. If you put people in these concrete jungles, in these really unpleasant environments, they start to become more violent. They start to become more selfish and suspicious and unhappy. So wouldn't it make sense that if we had environments and experiences in our schools that were more full of beauty, it would change the behaviors more and it would allow young people to find God more? So how do we do it? Practically, I want you to take from this podcast, I want you to start thinking about how can we create beauty in our Catholic schools? Well, I really want to hit you up on music, art, and also architecture. You know, often when I was teaching, I would just have some really beautiful music in the background, Bach or Albinoni, or, you know, do you think of some of Handel stuff, or just beautiful Mozart arias, whatever, in the background, very quietly, super quietly. You know, beautiful art, I'm huge on that, having beautiful art in the school so that people can just really hear that stuff flowing through. And then crucially, if you get a chance in your school to change architecture or new buildings get designed, then, you know, beautiful architecture. I just see so much horrendous school architecture happening. It's like a principal goes, oh, we've got a government grant or we've got some money, or let's just build another barn. Let's just build this, you know, or they think they're going to build something cutting edge modern, you know, so they can show it off to parents. And then in 20 years' time, that principal's living on the beach somewhere, and there's this completely out-of-date, horrendous building. You know, Scruton had this beautiful quote where he said, beautiful buildings, you know, they don't get torn down, they just get, they change their usages. So he said, beautiful buildings, you know, 400 or 500 years old, they might be, you know, they might start as a family manor and then they're turned into maybe a seminary, or then they're turned into like a museum or a government office. He said, beautiful buildings, no one tears them down. It's not like anybody looks at, you know, some of the, you know, St. Peter's and say, hey, let's rip it down and start another one. You know, beautiful buildings persevere through time, whereas ugly buildings just get torn down. It's one of the, look at the communist architecture from sort of the 1950s onwards. You know, no wonder people just drank themselves to death. The place was horrific to live in. It was ugly. So beauty's crucial, and your school needs to become an oasis of beauty. So how can you do it in small ways? Just in, you know, saying to your principal, hey, could we have some money for some art? I mean, I just bought Fra Angelico's Annunciation. I once attended a lecture on it. It's a beautiful picture. We had it framed and it sits above our fireplace. So that every time I walk into that room, I see that beautiful movement, the respecting Gabriel kneeling before the Blessed Virgin and the Blessed Virgin bowing slightly forward in her fiat. You know, this art matters. So please, summary. Many, not all, I don't want to say it's every student, but entertainment media, social communication, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, pornography, violence, they're exposed to it all the time. They're hungry for beauty. They have to be hungry for beauty because they're made in the image of God. And Augustine tells us, you know, that our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. So they want beauty. They won't come and tell you. They won't come and tell you. But you have this chance in your school to create this beautiful oasis of beauty. Just gardens, just saying to the principal, look, why don't we build a garden here? Let's get some flowers in that spot. Let's just make our environment just somehow just a tiny bit more beautiful. Trust me, this stuff really works. So I want to talk to you about something else next week, but I hope that's been useful to you. Where is the beauty in your school? How can you help it grow? If you're not using the Going Deeper program, please click the links below to find out about Going Deeper, amazing weekly program to really help your school grow and to form your staff. If you are a user, then grab this link, share it with people, other colleagues in other schools. It's been incredible to see it grow, but we need your help to see it grow and to reach more and more schools. So come and check out Going Deeper, weekly staff formation program. I want you to post a comment under here for me. Tell me, what's the beauty like in your school? You know, what do you think about some of these ideas that I've shared? But the other thing you can do is grab the link here and post it on your own social media feeds. Get this message out there to people. I'm Jonathan Dore. This has been the Going Deeper Being Catholic Weekly Podcast, and I'm really excited. I'm going to be speaking to you again next week.